Are you all the way in? Get ready for you. It's All the Way in Radio with your host, Deborah E. Lake. Recognize, claim, and live fully in your life through All the Way in Radio. Have complete confidence that you will succeed. Be fully invested in your life and in your happiness. All the way in radio.
I like that.
Change begins now.
Hello, this is All the Way in Radio, where you learn how to let the words of negative people roll away like water from a duck's back. I'm Deborah E. Lake, and this is the last in our series on the personal side of abortion. The shows in this series were not meant to discuss whether or not abortion is right. I've said that pretty much in every show. We're not here to debate whether or not it's right or wrong. Instead, we have women who have either gone through the process of making the decision about abortion or have helped someone else make that decision and come and share what that experience was like for them. We heard from some strong, thoughtful women from as far away as Spain. So if you haven't had a chance to hear previous shows, I encourage you to make sure you check them out. There's a lot of wisdom there. With me tonight is my guest, Terry J. Terry, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you here. And I'm glad you're here, willing to talk about such a difficult and topic. It's not easy to talk about, and I appreciate it. I'd like to start with you telling our listeners about yourself and your work.
I call myself an intuitive. I'm an intuitive, a medium, and I'm also a pet psychic. And I started out as a pet psychic, and that's all I wanted to do. But you know how man plans and God laughs.
Yes.
And now my practice is more people than pets. And so I do get into a situation often when I need to counsel my clients on whether or not they're, you know, how to make the choice, how to make the decision as to what is in their best interest, and you know, regarding this very sensitive subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to be able to see, you know, for them what I'm getting for them, and it's really amazing to me because I can see how their life will go either way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can sort of look out into the future for them and see, you know, what potentialities they have, because, you know, we all have the ability to have free will and make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very helpful for them to get that kind of perspective.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about either way, because one of the things that has come out of these talks is that either way, no matter what you decide, you're changed. Can you say a little bit about how women are changed just by making the decision? Can you share a little insight on that from your perspective?
Well, when they decide to have an abortion, there's an awful lot of negativity about it because people don't understand when a potential life potential actually becomes a life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge difference there between a life potential and a life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so when they realize and understand that it's really all about the timing, it really helps them if they choose to keep a child, you know, and go full term. It gives them peace knowing that's the right decision. And also if they decide to have an abortion, it gives them peace knowing that what they're doing is stopping a life potential, not killing a life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it does make a big difference.
It does. And one of the things is, regardless of, like I said, regardless of what you decide, your life is going to be different from that point on. It's already different, you know?
It's different from the moment you get pregnant.
Exactly,
really.
exactly. Yes. Let's see. Here's the question. How have the experiences that you've had helping people, how have they shaped you as a person?
Whenever I do a session for someone, I receive information for them. It isn't information that comes from me. The information comes through me.
Mm-hmm.
The closest way I can describe it is that I'm channeling that information. And I'm always shocked and amazed at the information because I have that reaction that, oh, I needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So I benefit from the messages, and that's why I know it's not coming from me. I always tell everybody, I'm not that bright.
No, can you give us an example of what you're talking about?
Oh, gosh. Just the other day I was doing a session and somebody said, well, how would you do that healing modality on an animal? And I just started telling them how I would do that specific healing modality and went, oh, my goodness, I've been asking for that information for months, you
That's
know, on how to do that.
Yeah.
And it just starts coming out.
That kind of highlights what I believe, which is we teach each other. Regardless of what kind of position we're in the relationship, we're learning and teaching at the same time, and that's a perfect example. Someone raised a question, and you, in responding to them, it sounds like you got information that you needed as well.
I've been asking for that information for quite a while, and once I was given the information, it was so simple. I should have done a forehead slap, you know, like, oh, of course.
Isn't that always the case when we're struggling?
Yes.
And then we finally get the answer and it's like, oh, how did I not see that?
Exactly.
Well, here's a question. Have you, and any of these questions you don't have to answer at all, have you ever considered abortion for yourself as an option for yourself?
I actually had one when I was in my early 20s.
Okay. And what was that process going through? What was that like
for you? Oh, my goodness. It was just one of those things where, you know, you can have the joy of a pregnancy. This was an oh shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, timing
mm-hmm.
was wrong, situation was wrong, finances were wrong, you know, I was at college, there's no way that I could have taken care of a child, I could never have given a child up,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so I did make that choice, and when I got into this work, you know, this very intense spiritual work is when I finally was at peace with it. I always felt the decision was good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, it was in my best interest. But at the same time, you still wonder and you think, let's see, how old would my child be now? And
mm-hmm.
you go through that. You can make yourself crazy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way my life has turned out now, I wouldn't have changed a thing, even having to go through that process, because of how happy I am with my life now and how I know that things would have turned out very, very differently for me, and I might not be on this path that I'm on now.
Mm, yeah. It's interesting because one of the things that I know is as we make a decision, doors open or close. And
exactly.
Making the decision is what opens the avenues or closes the avenues, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Have your views on abortion changed over your span?
No. To me, it's a woman's choice.
Okay.
I don't think anyone has the right or the, you know, the they just don't, no one has the right to tell a person what to do with their own body.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in that.
Where do you see a role for men, or if there are potential fathers? I ask because I think one or two of the women that we interviewed, the potential father was part of the decision making process, and you know they had different reactions depending on who they were and the type of relationship they had. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
I think that's going to vary depending on the individuals, and of course depending on how the pregnancy occurred. If it's a one night stand, that's going to be a heck of a lot different than someone who's in a loving, committed relationship.
Yeah.
The players are different.
It's hard. Yeah. I ultimately think that it's a woman's choice. The woman is the one who is making her body is going to be different for the rest of her life. Little things like that. She's the one who's making the putting her life on the line sometimes to bring the baby into the world. So I think that in itself means that the ultimate decision should be in the woman's hands. But I also have mixed feelings about whether or not the potential father has a say in it as well. And I think I'm 50-50 there. I'm still, that's a place where I'm still thinking. And I think your approach, where it depends on the relationship, determines how much input. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if it's a supporting relationship, then by all means. But if it's not, or if one view is trying to be pushed, then that's a different scenario. Yeah.
And I see so many situations where people are in bad relationships, and you want to tell them, hey, why are you still there? I had this situation with a client this morning. Why are you still in that relationship?
Yeah.
And it was, well, he sold his business. He's gonna move, and he says once he gets a job and gets a place to live, he'll send for me. And, oh, my God, it was like I could hear, the words BS being yelled. Because this is someone who's just stringing a person along for their convenience.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
They have no intention of having a permanent relationship with this person. It's just convenient.
Yeah, that
and
happens.
We have to make sure that we dictate the kinds of relationships that we're in.
Yeah.
And not settle.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I try to encourage people. You have to know yourself before you can be with anyone else. If you don't know yourself, then you don't even know the type of person you want to be with, or not be with, for that matter.
Exactly.
Let's take a short break, and when I come back, I want to get your thoughts about what would you say to people who want to help women who are going through the process right now of making a decision? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back, okay?
Isn't that John and Rachel over there?
I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found that John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we're back, and we're continuing our conversation about the personal side of abortion. I'm here with my guest for tonight, Terry J. And Terry, what can you say to people who want to support a woman who is going through the process right now of considering her options?
It just is a very big challenge to try to look 6 months, a year, 2 years out and see the kind of life that they would have and also that their child would have if they chose to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus choosing to have an abortion or give it up, and just sort of look at it that way. You know, what does your life look like? How do you feel? How are you surviving? How are you taking care of yourself and your child? And I think that it helps an awful lot of people make that decision.
So it's not, what I hear you saying is it's more of a practical approach. How can you take care of yourself first? And if you can, would you be able to take care of another person? Second would be the approach you would take, and that's definitely really important considerations, because if you're not able to take care of yourself and you bring someone else in the world, that doubles your problems. Yeah.
Right, and it isn't fair to either one then.
Mm-hmm. Well,
when my daughter was talking about getting pregnant, and I said, "How much money do you have saved up?" And she looked at me like I'd grown horns. And I said, "Well, you know, just diapers and all of the things you need in the first year are going to cost you $10,000."
Yeah, sometimes those kind of practical questions really call us up short, and we're caught up in the emotional moment, and someone can come in and say, "Well, let's be practical about this." And
right.
Yeah. So in our last show, I want to talk about the last show just for a short minute, because I want to get your thoughts on it. We had a young woman who she works for an organization who stands outside abortion clinics, and they try to persuade women to rethink their decision as they go into the clinic. I'm curious if you have any thoughts about this type of tactic.
To me, it feels like terrorism.
Mm.
Can
you
really
say
does.
More?
This is a very private thing, and it's a very private thing. It's just the same as that I wouldn't put my spiritual or religious views on anyone else. It's a very, very personal decision, and I think anyone who it gets into that kind of a situation, they need to understand that all these people are going to do is try to change your mind, and then you're on your own again.
It doesn't even be that way, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to pay for the upkeep of the child. They're not going to pay for the college education of the child. They just want you to make a different decision and then bye-bye. So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that they should even do that. You know, and I know from my work, and I know this shocks a lot of people, but a fetus doesn't get its life force or life energy or personality until sometime after the fifth month.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about when a person is a person, you know.
Right. But I do communication with babies. I communicate with people that are in a coma, persistent vegetative state, Alzheimer's, dementia. I can actually communicate with people that can't. And so under the same guise, I can communicate with a fetus. And I have never been able to communicate with a fetus before the fifth month. Never. And I'm asked to do it all the time.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's nobody home. There's nobody home.
Hmm.
I mean, that to me is the easiest way to look at it, is there really is nobody home.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I noticed when I was talking with this young woman was part of what happened is young people were kind of initiated into the mindset very early, and confronted with a lot of emotional information without
and
really
pictures,
having
pictures
the ability to process it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and they also show them pictures that are made up that aren't true.
True, yeah.
You know, they give them photographs that are all kinds of doctored where they think they can see a partial human in there somewhere, and it's not. It's all manufactured. It's not true.
Hmm.
So it's unfortunate that there's that kind of brainwashing going on.
So that's a good example of what not to do, how not to support, as far as I'm concerned, because one of the things that we had a bit of a tit-for-tat back and forth was that I was saying that it's more about pushing a particular agenda, and that makes women feel invisible, because you're not there for them. You're there because of your agenda.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that, how people can communicate that I'm here with you, and I'm not trying to push a particular agenda. I want to walk through this with you and be a support.
I think it's just really important to allow the woman the time to determine what's in her best interest and what's in the best interest of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pre-child, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no big deal. I mean, it's just sort of like if somebody has a miscarriage and they're only, you know, 6, 8, 12, 10 weeks along, whatever it is, then it's like nobody has a funeral. Yeah, hormones go crazy, but nobody has a funeral.
Mm.
And the thing is that you're not talking about a life. You're talking about a life potential, and I think it's just important to support a woman in helping her to come to make the right decision and to be okay with it whatever way it is.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought up funeral and potential, because one of the things that I know is that there is a grieving process regardless of what the decision is. If you choose to have the child, there's a grieving process for the life that you might have had, and that needs to be honored and recognized so you can move on. And the reverse of that is if you decide not to have a child, there's also a grieving process for the life that you may have had, you know? So,
absolutely, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if you have had any experience with the grieving process of the decision, not having an abortion per se, but just going through the process and coming to the end with a decision, grieving whatever you rejected in the process.
I think we have to look at how we feel about our decision. You know, our emotions are a fantastic barometer of the rightness of the decision.
Can you say more about that?
We have to look at our emotions. I was trying to make a decision today about whether to go to an event in Las Vegas or not. And it's coming up, and I've got so many wonderful things going on here. I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed. And so what I did is I tried on both of the decisions.
Ah. Tell us more about that.
Well, you just have to feel, okay, I've done this, I've had an abortion, I'm coming home from the abortion, how do I feel? Ooh, raging postpartum depression, raging, it's already kicking in. You know, and you find yourself crying and sobbing for the next, week or two, but the nausea stops and you feel like, you know what, I feel pretty good. Ooh, boy, I'm getting back in my pants. You know, my pants are starting to fit again. And, you know, things start turning around for you, and you say, well, how does that feel? You know, how does that feel? Other than, you know, knowing I'm going to have that postpartum depression, but I'm going to have it either now or I'm going to have it in, you know, eight or nine months, right?
Mm. That's interesting. I think that's good advice for people who want to be supportive. Just try to help them think through or talk
right.
through the emotions on both sides as they make a decision.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to have postpartum anyway, whether they have it now or they have it, you know, after a child's born. So that's just sort of a given, and it's temporary. That's a real temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to try on the feeling of, you know, of actually how their life is going to change in 9 months with having a child. Everything that they want to do is going to go on hold. Their life is basically going to stop, and they're going to be a milk machine. And little by little, they'll be able to wean themselves away from that process, if possible, and somewhere along there start reclaiming their own life and going back to doing what they had wanted to do with their life, you know, originally.
Mm.
So it's a matter, I think, of trying those decisions on and seeing which one feels better without allowing any of those maternal emotions to get involved.
Hmm. No, that's walking a tight rope.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little low on time. I'd like to know what you would like to say to a woman. Just pretend like there's a woman sitting across from you considering her options right now.
I would just tell them it is absolutely up to you, that they are not taking a life. They are only eliminating a life potential. It doesn't mean that they can't have children when they are ready. And it's just one of those situations where that they have pulled into their life to really look at how they feel about these kinds of things. And that it doesn't matter to God which way they go on the decision. Because a lot of people feel that they're going to be damned to hell, and, you know, they feel like they're going to have the wrath of God upon them if they, you know, choose to have an abortion. And none of that is true. None of that is true. You cannot have, you know, a vengeful, judgeful God. All you can have is a creative, supportive God. So, you know, it's all about creation. And just because they choose not to have a child now doesn't mean they won't be able to have one later.
Yeah.
And it's really up to them. They have to look at what their priorities are and decide what's most important for them now. You know, do they have time to take a break? Do they have the financial wherewithal? Do they want to consider adoption? You know, really, what are the options open to them?
That's very good practical advice. I like your practicality. Very good. And I want to thank you for being here with me tonight. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, it's been an honor.
It's been
an honor. This is a really, really tough subject. And I do help people, you know, try to make that decision. And I think once they realize that we're not talking about a life, we're talking about a life potential, that then they're able to make the decision without, you know, having any guilt over deciding that right now their life is most important right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So much continued success.
Oh, same to you. Same to you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too. That's all I have for you tonight. Thanks for listening. And so you'll know, I'll be taking a short break, just about a week, as I prepare for the upcoming one-year anniversary for All the Way In Radio. This show right here that we just finished makes our 37th broadcast. And so far, the year isn't over, but it's been a great year. We've gone from 1 to 2 listeners per show to hundreds in a few months, and it's all because of you. So I'm planning a special celebration for All the Way In Radio's first birthday, and it's coming up in July, and I know you'll want to help us celebrate. So I'm going to take about a week off from broadcasting, just a week, and in the meantime, I want you to stay connected with me and let me know what you think. What would you like to see? Would you like to see other shows that we've done in the past? Would you like to see a deeper exploration of the topic? Talk to me. Email me directly at alltheWayIn@DeborahElake.com. I really want to hear from you. This is All the Way In Radio, and we record live and uncensored. I'm Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time, world.
This has been All the Way In Radio. Remember, be all the way in your life. Until next time, get connected at allthewayin.org. While you're there, check out our resource section. It will help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Become part of All the Way In and have full access to special discounts and programs. Visit allthewayin.org for details. Take All the Way In Radio wherever you go through iTunes. Questions or comments? Ideas for future shows? Email them to info@allthewayin.org. All the Way In Radio is a production of Lake Enterprise. Audio production by Marcy Height. Creative consultation, Design House. Music by Andre Morganoff and Gautam.